Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He is. He loves His people. He's determined to love His people. He's doing His part. He's doing His covenant parts for the sake of His people, and not only those that are His, those that will be. God, He's the God of covenant. I'm so glad that the Lord didn't return in 1982, because I'd have been lost. And I think about people that's on the verge of salvation, yet lost in 2022. And it makes me get out of bed wanting to do something. Lord, I want all of your people saved. Every possible person, if they can be saved, I want to see them saved. Now, God loves His people. And He's doing great and mighty things towards all of us. And He's using us, those who believe, to do a mighty work. And I want to encourage everyone to go forward in the things of God. Now, today is May the 27th, 2022. And today He gave me a message called Breakthrough Trust. Now, I don't think I gave the dates the last 2 days, so I'm going to do it now. On May the 25th, 2022, He gave me the power of trust. And then May 26th, Thursday, May 26th, 2022, Thursday, He gave me the dynamics of trust. Today is Friday, May 27th, 2022, and it's called Breakthrough Trust. Trust is something that gives us an ability. Now, most of the time, the Lord don't give me the name first. I just do the broadcast, and then He give me the name after I post it on the website. And sometimes He give it ahead of time. And see, sometimes I believe He do it that way because in the name of the message, I know it's Him. Sometimes as you're following God, you being clued in on some things. Sometimes the messages I preach or teach or, you know, to encourage others, It's new to me. Sometimes it's just new to me. And it's something I never expected. The Lord, sometimes He'll just say, start talking. And I start talking and He fill my mouth with his word. And I have to go and ask Him questions and learn about some of the things that I've taught. And He do things in a systematic way. He lets you know, this is me. Because the titles that He give me and the things that He give me, It didn't come from my mind. Now, trust is something that's very important. It has a gift. And yesterday I saw something. I didn't connect the dots until I saw it yesterday as I was ministering out of Luke chapter 10. Jesus was rejoicing because the Father revealed things to babes. Okay, so if you keep following Jesus, you're going to become wise and prudent. But and I was driving home on Monday, let's see, what day was that? It was Tuesday or Wednesday. I was driving home that morning. I went somewhere. I was coming back, and I saw it clear as day. People trust God in stages, just like children trust their parents in stages. You know, an infant, a baby, they look to their parents for everything. They know they don't know what to do, and they cool with that. They know to look to their parents, and they're going to be all right. Why? Because yesterday, they looked to their parents, and everything was all right. And the day before that, and last week, and last month, and as far back as they can remember, they looked to their parents, and they were safe and secure. But when you get to be an adolescent, a teenager, you start becoming wiser, more, you know, a 16-year-old can get driver's license and drive and help his parents and go to the store. Now they're getting a taste of being mature. So to a certain point, they are wise and prudent, right? So now when the parents say something, no, I got this. This is where trust comes in. The people of God will do God's word, but eventually they're going to become wise and prudent in a certain glory. or in many glories. Now I want to explain something about the glories. It's not just the light that was on Moses' face. You know, that's a glory. That's a visible glory. But Peter talked to one better than that. Better than a voice from heaven. That's a glory too. It's the word of God that the Holy Spirit revealed. So the glory is anything we enter into. Kenneth Hagin, Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Copeland, many of us, many great men of God helped us enter into the realm of faith, the glory of faith. When we had to have some faith to get born again, and we did. But to the mechanics of faith, the dynamics of faith, those are glories that we enter into. Charles Capps helped us to speak faith and drive our life. That's what God always wanted. He said, you be fruitful. You multiply. You subdue the earth. You have dominion over it. Replenish. I left that out. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. All of that was something that Adam was supposed to do. And, you know, I just thought of earlier, on audio page 6, which was last year, 2021, on audio page 6, the Lord had me do a teaching series. It's 5 parts called Our Covenant Week, okay? And it follows the Restoration Week. Everything God did in the Restoration Week, He did in the Covenant Week. Now, the Covenant Week is every 1,000 years. In the Restoration Week, God said, let us make man in our own image. All right, He said, He blessed them, talking about Adam and Eve and all of his descendants, because we were in his loins. To the last man born, that's who God was talking to when he spoke to them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. So, that was on a Friday. That was the fifth day of the week. No, I'm sorry. That was the sixth day of the week. I get it right. On Friday is the sixth day of the week. All right. In America, we count Monday as the first day because that's when we go to work. Actually, it's Sunday. So Friday's the sixth day of the week. On the sixth day, he's talking to a man standing before him that could reason with him and hear him and receive instruction and follow instruction and keep covenant. All right. Now here we are at the end of a Friday of the covenant week. And because of the glories that was taught by great men of God all along, it started on a Wednesday when Jesus died for us. We had Thursday and now it's Friday. It's been 2 days. We've been walking with the Lord. Now the Lord can talk to a generation that can hear him, that can understand him, that can reason with him, that can obey him and keep covenant. Consider that. Now, trust gives you that gift and ability. Trust enables you to go to the next glory, because no matter how far along we get in this realm, all the glories we did enter into, and the Lord helped us to do it. See, that's why it's so important to pray for great men of God. They have to enter into greater glories too, because they have king-sized problems. You know, a person that's been in the ministry, and they've been on the front line for a long time, they've seen everything you can think of. They get the rebuke letters, some people bless them, and bless them with money and say good things. Next thing you know, they get a rebuke. They see it all. Then they get letters from people that think that's trying to correct them. They see it all. But they still manage to go through and do it God's way. And I remember Charles Capps used to always, he always loved the people. See, we need leadership that looks to God. That's the only way you can say me trying to get people off track. but he stayed on track through the love of God. When I didn't know what to do, when I wasn't fully clued in, I was able to sustain by the love of God. The teachings of Jesus, that kept me balanced when I did not understand what was going on. And so until the Lord clued me in, I had the love of God to keep me balanced. Again, balance is when you live according to the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the holiness of God. And that's very important. So now the Lord is talking to people that can reason with him and keep covenant. So this is the sixth day of the covenant week. Everything he did in the restoration week, he also did first in the covenant week. Now, trust gives us that ability as long as you're obeyed. When it comes to the next glory, you're just like a baby. You have no experience in that next realm. You have to be trained. And you have to enter it not only by faith, but by trust. Because if you try to enter it by faith as a professional or as a wise and prudent person, you probably won't. But when you rely on the Lord, now, Lord, I have no clue. I need you. That's when you can go to the next glory. Every time. It always takes trust to go to the next glory. The Baptist preacher that's been preaching his heart out and doing the will of God to the best of his ability, the best of his ability, he hears about the Holy Spirit. And being a student of the word, he sees it with Baptist goggles until he sees people operating under a higher form of wisdom and understanding. They're full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So wait a minute, I could be wrong. Now he has to rely on the Lord. And he does the research. And then he enters into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What happened? He entered into another glory. And he broke through all the Baptist challenges. Not that Baptist people, I love Baptist people, and the best Pentecostals were formerly Baptists or Methodists. So Elder Lewis, he was an outstanding holiness preacher, but he had a Baptist background. And so a lot of the wild things he didn't do. And the many good things he did do. We have to break through the mindsets and challenges of our realm. Just like Abraham, he had to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house. He had to, that's three breakthroughs he had to deal with. We explained that on another broadcast. So do we. Now, trust will take you there. And if you're balanced, you'll have the wisdom to proceed. Now, I'm going to go back and this is a little throwback here. I asked the Lord his definition of balance, and he gave me this. I should have dated it. I'm going to try to figure out what day that was. That was about a month ago. He said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. Then he said this, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. That's sincerity that will not quit, will not take no for an answer, will not stop, will see things through. Okay, so he said perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's continuing. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. Then he said this. Proud men can never be balanced. Value it or appreciate it. I'm going to read that part again. He said, proud men can never be balanced. Value it or appreciate it. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within, and it is a worldly view. See, pride looks within. The focus of faith, faith looks to God. So the focus of faith is the Lord. One day the Lord, many years ago, he said, faith looks to God. Pride looks within, and fear looks to man. The focus of fear is to man. Every time, Saul got in fear, he said the people wanted to keep the possessions. And he was looking at the people. Then he saved Agag alive, fearing people. So That's how he lost his, he got fired doing that. Fear looks to me, and then he had pride too. He loved power and prestige more than, that's why he got in fear. Everybody getting pride, getting fear too. It's what you act on, that's what defines what you're doing. What are you acting on? You can't follow God with a satanic mind. You have to be unleavened to enter the next glory. You have to be innocent. You have to be as innocent as a babe and willing to trust God to enter into the next glory. Now, I want to share this. I know how my ministry could seem. God called me. He showed me that the biggest problem is his people don't follow him. And these are the dynamics of why they don't follow him. They follow him in according to the glory they understand or think they understand. And then, when it's time to go make the next adjustment, they either proceed or they stall out or wait. And if they wait, then the enemy has time to play with their mind. So, but if you go on and enter the next glory, you'll see more. You'll see God's perfect will. And the Lord has, after he told me that, I knew I had to yield to him to find out what to do. Now, he gave me the strangest, to me it was very strange, assignments. I had to write a word at home for the pastors, local pastors I knew of. I would write the word at home. I was in the Lord's presence. He just gave me a word for a pastor. And then he tell me who it was and when to take it to him. I get to the church. They're preaching half of it. Or their sermon's word is just like the word I wrote at home. I didn't know what they were going to do. But it gave me a reference, a point of reference. And it gave them something to go on, gave me something to go on. And the Lord was trying to alert them to something. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord wanted people... Lester Summerall said this. The Lord told him, change usually happens from one person more than organizations. When God wants to introduce something, he uses one person to do it. And he was looking for people, for men of God that would break through and enter into this next glory of following God from glory to glory. Following God, see, that way you can get out of all the bad training, the process, the culture. That's hard to break through unless you have to really love God to do it. And see, there are things here that should clue us that we need to break through. Now, listen to 1 Peter chapter 4. He said, for the time, this is Peter, 1 Peter 4:17. And, you know, read the whole chapter in your study time. But look at, this will prove what I'm trying to say. He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous, now watch this one, verse 18. Pay close attention to this. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, now, why would that be in there if it wasn't relevant? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the godly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their souls in him in well doing as unto a faithful creator. Now, this proves that we're under attack, or we're attacked. But actually, if we choose to be, we're over the attack. We can stop it. Another curious scripture that's very relevant is 1 Timothy 4. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then they got off track. Now, before Peter died, he said, some of you will try to become, will lead people away, you know, after them. See, Paul said the same things, in other words. And this is very relevant to our day, because the enemy, he's always trying to figure out how to stop the move of God. He's always trying to figure out how to stop it. And I found something to be true. It was unpleasant, but good to understand. Here it is, 2 Peter 2. He said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets, false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." So that means they were saved, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom they were the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers." Now I'm going to stop there. Now watch this. Worldly people, leavened people, if they get into a place of precipice, a leading position, they still have worldly desires. That's why they make merchandise out of God's people. They also create doctrines. And sometimes good people get caught up in them. Wait, let me show you this. When Kenneth Hagin was teaching people about faith, why were so many people reluctant? When that's what's going to put you over. And he learned these things from breaking through a sick bed. He broke through his illness. And cold religion, you know, he talked about the pastor and said, I can't do it like Kenneth Hagin did. He said, "Oh, son, in a few days it'll all be over." You know, really? He broke through by faith, by his faith. And he stuck to he was clued in that he could live. And he couldn't get his question out to ask the pastor. And the pastor said things that discouraged him. But he broke through it. Now, in our circles, we still have to break through. It's just how it is. Now, I said earlier, I went to a holiness church, Pentecostal church. But Elder Lewis had a Baptist background. He was more balanced than other, you know, he was, in my opinion, more balanced than other holiness churches that we fellowship with. And he was also a doctor. He taught us in the basement of the church. He did a college course in the basement of the church. And he didn't even charge us, you know. But nevertheless, I learned to draw near to the Lord because of him and Karen and Stephen. She kept reading Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for years. And it got in my heart. And then with the way he would receive a message from the Lord, I learned to follow God. And when the Lord alerted me to the fact that the biggest problem in the church is people don't follow him in 1990, he started showing me things about following God. He gave me those dynamics. And I saw the relevance of it. And then I saw what every time I was learning from him, going from glory to glory rapidly in my own life. And my life, it didn't just get fixed in one day. I was learning and I did better and better over time. But I was learning from the Lord and I saw the value in following God. And I wondered why other people didn't walk in it. Well, the revelation was there, but you have to receive it. When people present a revelation to you, you understand it. But until they receive it, they don't see what you see. So the Lord gave me a message about the glory. I forgot the title that he answered my question. And it's on this same webpage, audio page 7. there's a title that says, there's a link that says see-through glory. Okay, the one in front of that, that's when the Lord answered my question. And it's about how people enter into glory. That's how I didn't know it to that point. Okay, that was just a few months ago. Now, and that was recently too. It was 1 or 2 months ago. I had that link, that title, See-Through Glory. And the one before it, the Lord taught me about entering into glories. So, now, being a babe, depending on the Lord, that's where reliance comes in. When you're wise and prudent, now you're in a position where you don't have any experience. So you, again, just like Kenneth Hagin when he first started learning about faith, you're a babe now. Every time you enter into a new glory, you have no experience. You got to yield to the Lord and trust Him. Now, faith will get you to that point, but trust will carry you over. Now, that's the power of trust. That's where trust comes in. So the church needs this terribly. We need this. We need the break. We need our trust can help us break through our culture. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with my church. I didn't either. When the Lord was talking about following God, I didn't see anything wrong with what they were doing. I was not trying to critique them. I said, Lord, I'm going to be honest. I don't see a thing wrong with what they're preaching or anything they're doing. But we can follow God in a certain glory and stop. That's the realm we'll live in. And it was good. And a lot of times I was learning, all these pastors I was learning from. But God wanted, that was more territory to explore. And I couldn't see that. I didn't know what God was going to cause them to enter into. I did know this. The things that were being taught, that was, the things that was, off track, God was going to correct. Now, I'm going to give you an example. In the Holiness Church, they had a lot of rules and regulations. All right, they told they had a dress code for the women based on the law. God didn't put those commandments on his people. Men did it. Now, this is a crafty trick of the devil. And I'm going to show you why. All right, you tell the girls they got to wear dresses on. If they wear pants, they're going to hell. All right. Earrings, jewelry. Now, they go to school. All their friends are wearing. And it's okay with God. It's not evil. They make pants for women just like they make pants for men. And the shirts for women, they button the opposite way. A man puts his belt on, let's see, left to right. Women put theirs on right to left. It's... the enemy tricked our people. Just like it's no different than Colossians chapter 2. The Jews were trying to get, now the people were already saved and learning from, they had the Holy Spirit, they were learning from the Lord, they were enjoying the Lord. Now here come the Jews saying, well, you're not children of God unless you get circumcised, keep the Sabbath, and don't eat pork, you know, and a whole lot of other things that they did. That has nothing to do with it. Paul had to tell them that not to touch it, not to taste it, not to handle their doctrine in chapter 3. And at the end of chapter 2. These are the commandments of men, just like in the Holiness Church. And it set the people back. And it hurt people terribly. See, Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. And I watch people scatter God's people. Some people, would, if they had focused on the Holy Spirit and the miracles and the prophecy, the Lord was trying to get people to enter into a new glories. Now, every church has their own glory that God can use. The Baptists, the Methodists, they all have a balance God can use. But they need greater glories. In the Pentecostal circles, even Word of Faith circles, there's more to explore. There's dynamics that we need. And God was going to introduce it, but he had to have somebody that would follow him wholeheartedly and sincerely. And see, God had to, He said it's better if the pastors of the day in the 90s, early 90s, mid 90s, if they follow me now. Because they had the dedication. All they had to do is learn to be a babe again and enter into the next glory. And that's where I came in. I alerted them to it. I showed them what would happen if they did and what would happen if they didn't. Mostly by word. Sometimes I would explain the vision I saw. I didn't have as many visions as I did word pictures. Now, and I was confused. I said, how come they don't see this? This is easy to understand. And I had a protocol. There were some things that I did learn from the Lord I couldn't share with them unless they asked me. Now, I pondered this for a long time. He would give me a word, and then he'd give me a word that I could only give them if they asked questions. And I would say, Lord, bless them to ask me. I would be praying that they would ask me, but they wouldn't. Now, why did God do that? The Lord was looking for sincerity. This next glory that he's revealing to you now and people, he wanted to do it through pure-hearted people, unleavened, with poor training. He wanted to correct things first. He would have trained them and prepared them to help the people of the day enter into the same glory. And he had to do it through people who are sincere. And so he told me, he said, if they don't do it, I'm going to have to raise up another generation. And he did that. There are people now. See, he didn't release this to 2016. It was June of 2016 when I started Heart to Heart. That's when the revelation started flowing. Now, he had been teaching me these kind of revelations since the 90s. Never stopped. But he continued it. And things started making sense. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Stay in.